take your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 12. We'll continue to go verse by verse through the Bible together. And we found our place at John 12, 42, as we're going through this book of the Bible. I hope it's been a help to you and a blessing to you. John chapter 12, the Bible says in verse number 42, Jesus speaking, he says, or about to speak, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." I see three things here in this text that we've read this morning. You can break it down to verse 42 and verse 43. Very probing words of the Bible concerning human nature. And then verse 44 to 46, and then the last few verses in the text. The first thing I see is what is a question about what man really loves, what's important to him. The Bible said in verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men," the Bible says, "more than the praise of God." I'd ask you this morning, what do you love? What's important to you? Here's some people that believed on Christ, and it says many of them. And it says many of the chief rulers. That means they were very high up in this place of Judaism, and they had prominent positions there. And the Bible clearly says they look at it again. It says many, he says, believed on him among the chief rulers. He says, also many believed on him. Now, I've read a lot of books that say, well, they really didn't believe like they really didn't believe, because if they would have believed, they would have confessed. Well, I believe what the Bible says. The Bible said they believed on him. So that's what it means. Now, the predicament that they find themselves in is the same predicament that a lot of real, saved children of God find themselves in today. And that's the question is, am I going to be ashamed of the Lord, and how much does the Lord really mean to me? You know, there are a lot of people that are ashamed of Jesus. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." But there are a lot of people that are ashamed of the Lord. There are a lot of people that that would not dare, among their friends and acquaintances and people that they work with, dare to admit that they believe every word of the Bible. A lot of people are ashamed of the Bible. I want to say this morning, I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I believe the Bible. And if it hurts me with you because I believe the Bible, I'll just have to be hurt with you. Because I love the Word of God. I love Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be ashamed to identify with the truth and with Jesus because what it might cost me. Now, we live in a place where it really doesn't cost us a lot to really believe, to be identified with Jesus Christ. It doesn't cost us a lot. It's pretty easy. That's why I really think probably the hardest judgment in the world is going to be, you know, an American that had it so easy and had the gospel and the truths of the Bible so freely exposed to them. And it didn't cost them really anything to trust that and believe Christ. And yet they failed to do it. Their judgment will who much is given, much is required. But I have been in places of the world as a missionary and dealt with other people where it did cost them greatly to believe on Christ. I'll never forget being in Romania and Greece there in the Orthodox Church. You know, I remember that dear lady in Greece, and I'll be going there tomorrow, or headed that way tomorrow. But that dear lady that was raised in the Greek Orthodox Church all of her life, never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. She thought salvation was in a church. She thought salvation was because her mom and dad took her down and baptized her as a baby one day. And so she was all right. She had no personal relationship with God. She didn't know Jesus Christ as her Savior. He didn't live inside of her. One day we were preaching out there, and she listened to that preaching on the street out there. Because we weren't as, look, you know, here's the thing, guys. Look, if you're not ashamed of Jesus in church, it really doesn't matter. Where it matters is whether or not you're ashamed of Him out there where people really need to know who He is. And so we were just out in the public arena. We were preaching, giving out the gospel. And this dear Greek lady, she was just enamored. And she had a choice to make. And she had never heard the gospel. And she started coming to church. And little by little, God was working in her heart with the gospel. And she came to the point where she trusted Christ as her Savior. I never forget that. We were all rejoicing. I wish I could give you a great ending in that story. It didn't end greatly. She was too, you have to understand, Greek families are so tight, you see. She didn't want to lose that relationship with her earthly family. I wonder this morning, do you love the praise of men more than praise of God? Would you be willing to lose your family relationships for the sake of Jesus Christ? That's a pretty probing question, isn't it? I never forget another man. He came to the church there, started coming, Aliyah. I've told you the story. He was born in Iran and then lived in Afghanistan and migrated over into Greece. And he came Sunday after Sunday. He got saved. I never forget when he got saved. We all rejoiced. And his story was the opposite. He immediately wanted to be baptized. He immediately wanted to confess Christ. He immediately wanted our cell phone to call his mom and dad back in Afghanistan and tell them that he trusted Christ as his Savior. He's not a Muslim. He found the real God. That's what he said. I knew that Allah wasn't real. I knew the Quran wasn't real because it never did anything to change my mom and dad's life. He got on that phone, and I can see him in my mind's eye in church there. And he had that phone, and he called Afghanistan on my cell phone. And speaking in Farsi, I couldn't understand. He was talking about Jesus, about how he got saved, and all of a sudden, nothing. Click. He's dead from that point on. Dead to them. Dead if he wanted to go back to them. Why? Because it costs you sometimes something to confess and identify with Jesus Christ. In America, it's not so hard. And that's why it's so bad that some people in America that are saved, and they're still intimidated to identify with Jesus Christ. They're still intimidated to stand at the job and say, hey, I belong to Jesus, and I believe and know the truth. And I'm not ashamed of the Scripture. I'm not ashamed of what God said. That verse there in verse 43 said, it's a probing verse. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They're afraid they're going to be put out of the synagogue. You see that at the end of verse 42? Now, what it would cost them is that they would lose their positions. They're chief rulers. And if they confess Christ, they will not only lose their position, but they'll be put out of their synagogue. They will lose their religion. They will lose their church. What are they going to do? We saw this with that blind man back in chapter 9. Would you turn back there? Same thing happened with him. This blind man who was blind from birth, God touched him and saved him. And man, he's so excited. But the rest of religion wasn't excited. His mom and dad were afraid to say the truth about the matter. Why? Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And they were afraid of what it would cost them. John 9, verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So the Jews already made it plain. If you believe on this man, you're out. And people like Nicodemus, a master in Israel, I believe Nicodemus got saved. I believe he got born again. When Christ was crucified and then put in that tomb and his body, who was it that came and got his body? Who was interested? It was Nicodemus. And it was also Joseph of Arimathea, who was another, had a chief prominent position among the Jews. You know what the Bible said about Joseph of Arimathea? He was ashamed to publicly confess Christ, just like we're reading in our text in John 12. Look at John 19 real quickly. John 19, verse 38. This is at when they're getting the body of Jesus to go put it in the tomb. John 19, verse 38. The Bible says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus. Look at that. A disciple of Jesus, but what does that say? Secretly for fear of the Jews. Besought Pilate he might take away the body of Jesus. There are all these people that have really believed on Christ. Prominent people, important people, rulers, masters. And many of them have believed on Christ. But they're sitting in the corner thinking about what is it going to cost me? It's going to cost me my job. It's going to cost me my friends. It's going to cost me my religion. And so they don't say a word. You know, that day they crucified Jesus, they could have crucified a host of people that had not been ashamed to stand up and say, "Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me." But they were afraid. Let me ask you a question. What do you love? Would you lose your job for Jesus? Would you lose your family for Jesus? Would you lose your position for Jesus? Would you lose your retirement for Jesus Christ? What would you put on the line and you just walk away? Would you lose everybody liking you because you stood with Jesus Christ? Boy, we live in that day, don't we? Everybody wants all those likes. They love the praise of men. I want them to like my picture. I want them to like my text. I want them to like my blog. I want them to like my outfit. People live for the praise of other people. That is vanity. It means nothing. You know what David said? Only time in the Bible where God said he liked somebody. David said this, "God liked me above all the sons of my father." They brought all those brothers, all those sons of Jesse, and they were coming in one at a time. And even Samuel's impressed, right? "Oh, surely this is the Lord's." No, Samuel, you like him, but God doesn't like him. "Oh, this has got to be it. He's the biggest. He's the tallest. He's the most handsome. He's the smartest." God says, "No, I'm not interested in that. He's the oldest. He's the wisest. He has the most ability. He has the most talent." And God keeps telling Samuel, "No, no, no, no." Because Samuel, what you like and what I like are different. Can I tell you that's the same thing with God today? What God likes and what people like is different. You know what God likes? He likes preaching. Yeah. Amen. That's what the Bible says, that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He likes that. Amen. He likes the truth. He likes righteousness. He likes holiness. We live in a world that hates that. I'll give you even further. The Bible says the Lord loves judgment. That's certainly not what people like. God says, "No, Samuel. No, Samuel." Anybody left? Well, there's one guy. He's the runt kid. He's out there. He's always keeping those sheep out there. None of us like him. His brothers didn't like him. He's delivering cheeses and delivering stuff to the battlefield. And they disdain him. Nobody likes David. Even Goliath disdained David. They don't let him like him. Saul didn't like David. He appreciated getting him out of a jam. He didn't like David. How do you know that? He tried to kill him later. He didn't like him. David's own wife didn't like him. What about that? You read that story? Come on now, don't look at me like I'm not saying something that's not in the Bible. Here comes David, and he's rejoicing in the Lord and praising God. You see, God liked that. But Michael, David's wife, boy, she didn't like that. And she let him have it. And so you know what he said? He said, go to your room. For the rest of your life. The king can do that, you know. What about that? Nobody liked David. They didn't like how he was excited about. You know, people don't like you. If you get excited about the Lord, it makes people uncomfortable. If you are true to the words of God, it makes people uncomfortable. They're not going to like that. You start talking about Jesus on the job and how much Jesus means to you. They don't like that. Pray over your food in Jesus' name. That makes them uncomfortable. But God said, I like David. I like what's in his heart. He's got a heart like me. And these people, instead of wanting God to like them, they wanted to be liked by others. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I want to know who is interested in God from heaven clicking the button and say, I like him. I like that picture. I like that testimony. I like that conversation. I like that lifestyle. Who do you want to please? Who do you love? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So Christ didn't have all types of witnesses that he could have had. He should have had. And he died alone on that tree until finally one of the men made his way back to the cross. But as far as men concerned, they all forsook him. Nobody stood with him. Why? Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What do you love? They would rather be praised by religion. They would rather be praised and esteemed by their relatives. They would rather be appreciated by men of high society. Political correctness. What is that? That's just loving the praise of men. I want everybody to be pleased with what I say and how I say it. Well, I want to be pleased with what... I want God to be pleased with what I say and how I say it. I want God to be pleased with what I believe and what my character is and what's in my heart. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And it wasn't that they weren't interested in God's approval, but they just love the praise of men more than God's praise. They wanted to be accepted by their peers instead of... That meant more to them than being accepted by God. And the Bible says there is coming of judgment day. And then those... He said, then there shall every man have praise of God. If you have immersed your life in trying to please God, then there's coming a day where, yes, that He will even praise us. The Bible says come day He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as we heard sung this morning. Well done! I'm pleased with your life. Let me ask you, is God pleased with your life this morning? And do you want Him to be pleased with your life? What do you love? Do you love God's approval? Do you love God's smile? Do you love God's pleasure? Are you living your life for His praise? Or for someone else's? They love the praise of men more. What do you love? You love all men to speak well of you? Woe be unto them, this book says, when all men speak well of you. Woe be unto you when everyone's pleased with you. Let's keep reading. That's man's love. I hope you'll analyze yours today. Well, preacher, I love my family. Well, you ought to love the praise of God more than the praise of your own family. People get in such a mess. Living for the pleasure of so many people instead of living for the pleasure of God. He says in verse 44, he moves from man's love to man's belief. John 12 in verse 44, the Bible says, Jesus cried and said, I think probably he was a little overwhelmed with the setting knowing that all those people believed on him but wouldn't confess him because they were intimidated. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Jesus says, look, here, if you're going to believe God, you've got to believe in me. You can't believe God without believing. You know that's still true. You can't believe God without believing Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe in a higher power. I believe in the Creator. I believe. Yeah, that's not enough. Because God's got a name. And God's got a Son. And there's one way, and there's only one way to know God. There's only one way to believe God. It's not your choice. It's not your avenue. Everybody finding their own way to God. That is totally contrary to the Scripture. Jesus said, if you're going to believe on Him that sent me, you've got to believe on me. It's not a generic belief. It's a personal belief. You can only believe God through Jesus Christ. He says in verse 45, "And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." So as he's talking about man's belief, he said, look, you can't just believe in God. You've got to believe in me. Wow, still true. And then he says this, if you'll see me, you'll see God. You know what that tells me? That, now somebody said, I can't see God. You know, the Bible says, previously, I think we were in chapter 6 somewhere, where Jesus told me, he says, you've never seen His shape. You've never seen the Father. But you know what they could see? They could see Jesus. They could see the God-man, God in the flesh, right in front of them. You know what? Look, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. That's why he starts talking about seeing. Well, how am I going to see God? No man hath seen God at any time, the Bible says. So I can't even approach unto God. Well, that's why God sent His Son, so that you could see Him, so you could believe on Him. What did Jesus tell Philip in chapter 14? He that seeth me hath seen the Father. Have you ever opened your eyes and seen? You say, well, I just believe what I can see. Well, that's sort of short-sighted. You know why? Because your eyes aren't that good. They're all type, man, there's all types of critters you can't see with your eyes. Well, I just don't believe what I can't see. Man, there could be bugs all over you and you can't even see them. That make you feel better this morning? Some of you have bugs all in your beds. That make you feel good? Oh, they love living in your mattress. Oh, yeah. When I was in another life, that's facetiously. When I was in school, I sold vacuum cleaners. And boy, I tell you one way, we could always get somebody to buy a vacuum cleaner. We'd show them all these pictures of all the bugs in their mattress. Well, I'm buying another one. Well, the problem is you buy another one, you're going to get more bugs. You know there's bugs in you? That's why your body, you say, I just believe what I can see. No, you don't. There are all types of microscopic things you could never see with your naked eyes. You can't see ultraviolet light. You can't see an X-ray. You can't see radio waves. You know what? If you had good sight, right here in this building, there are waves of radios going through this building. What's the preacher doing, talking about science? No, I'm talking about the fact that you can't trust what your eyes see. There's a whole other world out there that you can't see with your eyes. But believing is seeing. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. If you believe on me, you really see what's important. Go to Hebrews 11 real quick. I'll just show you that. Believing is seeing. Why is it important for man to believe? Because without that, he can't see anything. Faith. Only faith has real eyes. What do you believe in? Why are you turning? What do you believe in? Well, I believe what I can see. Well, I don't know about that. Well, I believe in global warming. I believe in animal rights. I believe in animals. I believe in democracy. I believe in human extinction. I believe in space exploration. That's what I believe in. People believe in all kind of weird things. Some people believe in the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus, amen, and aliens. Some people believe the stuff they see on TV. I'm talking about news. You can't believe things you see. And for the global warming thing, I don't believe in global warming. I believe in global burning. If you don't listen, if you believe in global warming, you don't believe God. You think God's a liar because He told us until He destroys this world, summer and winter will not cease. No, He's going to burn it all up. Save whatever you want to save, He'll burn it up. Your houses, your animals, your trees, your ozone. God's going to burn the whole world. Why wouldn't people be, humankind's going to go extinct in 15 years? That's what AOC said, so that's true. 15 years, it's over. We got to quit driving cars and flying planes and stop them cows. People believe that stuff, guys. And God said, I'm going to burn the whole world and Jesus is coming again. And they go, what do you believe? The Bible says that shows us that believing is seeing. Faith is sight. Look at Hebrews 11. He says, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. Faith is evidence. It's real. Verse 3, through faith we understand. You don't understand with your brain. You understand with your heart. You understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, that even makes sense. All the things you can see, where did they come from? They had to be made of something that's a little farther than where your eyes can see. Look, drop on down. Verse 13, the Bible said in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. How did they see it? They saw promises by faith. And we're persuaded of them. You know, that's why I ask you to pray for me before we preach. Because I want you to see these things. You can sit in church and never see the truth. And never see the things of God. And never see the need of your heart. Because it takes faith to see. Some people can never see what's wrong with them. You've got to believe God to see things. Same chapter, one more verse, Hebrews 11. Let's look at Moses. In verse 26, Hebrews 11:26, speaking of Moses, it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. See who he identified with? He wasn't ashamed of him. For he had respect in the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as, what does that say? Seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw somebody, but he wasn't looking at Pharaoh. He wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. He was afraid of God. Oh, if we could stop being afraid of the things that we can see and start being afraid of the one that we can't. And Moses said, I saw who's invisible. How did he see him? He saw him by faith. See, only faith has eyes. And what they didn't see in John chapter 12, that the one that was standing in front of them was more important than their rabbi. And the one that was standing in front of them was more important than their job. And the one that was standing in front of them was more important than Judaism and more important than the temple and more important than the sacrifices and more important than their own lives. But they couldn't see that Jesus was the one that they needed to see and believe in. He said one other thing about belief. Would you go back to John 12? Man's love. Man's belief. What do you believe in? You believe in evolution? You believe in good works? What do we believe in? Or do you believe Jesus Christ? I tell you what, I don't believe in me. You know, some people, that's where they believe. They believe in themselves. And that's the dumbest thing you could ever believe in. You know why? Because you ought to know you. If anybody's honest with themselves, you know you shouldn't be believing in you. But that's where a lot of people believe. I just believe in me. Well, you're going to stop. And you're going to die. But Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said in verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. What does Jesus say about man's belief? He says, you have to believe in me to believe in God. He says, seeing is believing. And then He talks about them believing in the light. You better believe the light that you have. Remember chapter 1, I won't go through it. God sent a light into the world. God's trying to lighten every man that comes in the world and show him what's true, show him his need. And Jesus Christ was the true light. And Jesus Christ was that light that we all should bear witness. Jesus is the light that shines in darkness. Our world is so dark. Our hearts are so dark. People's minds are darkened. And there's the light. Believe in the light. Quit believing in the darkness. Why would I believe in the darkness? Why would I believe in the merits of sin and the merits of the world? That's all a dark place. Jesus said, believe in the light. He says, but you know why you won't come to the light? You won't believe in the light because if you come to the light, your deeds will be reproved. When you come to the light, you see what's wrong with you. That's like we sung this morning, Christ receiveth sinful men, even me with all my sin. When I believe the light, I believe what God says about me. Believing is believing in the light. What do you believe in? What do you love? Lastly, would you go to John 12:47? Jesus speaks, or the Bible speaks of man's love, man's belief, and then man's judgment. Some different words Jesus says here. Would you look at them? Verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. What about that? Now, in another place, the Bible says God's committed all judgment unto the Son. Let's keep reading. But Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, you don't believe me, I'm not going to judge you. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. It's like those disciples, you know, in Luke chapter 9, when you always call fire down from heaven, and Jesus said, hey, I've not come to destroy men's lives, I've come to save men's lives. I didn't come here to judge all of you, I tried to come here to save all of you. Right. Jesus could have spent all of His ministry telling everybody what was wrong with them all 24 hours a day. But He was giving them the answer and the cure for their sin and for their heart and for their eternal salvation. He says, I didn't come here to judge you. Well, the world ought to embrace that. Praise the Lord, somebody won't judge me. Well, no, He won't, but something else will. You see, the Father, God the Father, had every right to judge all. He says, no, I tell you what I do. I'm going to let my Son judge you. The Son, the judge of all men, says, I tell you what, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to defer to something else. Would you look at your Bible? He said in verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus said this to everybody. He said, look, here's man's judgment. Your judgment is going to be my word. Because you know what He said in these verses? He said, my word's God's word. You can't say that about Allah. You can't say that about everything that came out of my mouth. You can't say that about Muhammad. You can't say that about the Pope. You can't say that about your mom or your dad or your friends. But you can say that about Jesus. He said, everything I said is what God is saying to you. My word is God's word. You know what else He said? My words are, it is a commandment. He said, this commandment have I received. In other words, it wasn't his opinion. It's God's commandment. God's commanded all men everywhere to repent. The commandment to believe on His Son. It's not an option. It's a commandment. He said, my words are God's words. My words are commandments. He said, my words are everlasting life. You see that at the end of that verse? End of that chapter? Verily, verily, He said in chapter 5, verse 12, he that believeth on me. He says, you're not going to come into condemnation. You'll have everlasting life. If you believe this Word of God, if you believe this Scripture, you'll be born again by this Word of God. My Word is God's. My Word is commandment. My Word is everlasting life. And He says, but my Word will be your judge. You see that? He said, there's going to be one that judges you. It's going to be the Word that I've spoken. You know, church, it's not just in Revelation 20, but it's also in Daniel chapter 7, where the Bible talks about one day the books are going to be opened. God keeps books. And you know what one of those books are? It's the Word of God. And the Bible says people are going to be judged out of those books. Now, let me ask you a question. When you stand before God, if God opens His books, His book, the things He said, and He judges your life by what He said, how are you going to stack up? You know what we want? We want to be judged by the standard of other people. Now watch. What's the context of all this? They love the praise of who? If I can just get along with other men, if men can speak well of me and praise me, that's my judgment. And Jesus says, that's not your judgment. You can impress everybody, but at the end of the day, your life will be matched with what He said. Your life will be matched with a book. Right. Well, I've done better than so-and-so. That's not the judge. Right. Well, I think I'll pass by because I'm a better person. That's not the judge. How does your life, how is it going to stack up in the judgment if God looks at your life and opens the Bible and compares it? Somebody said, nobody can live up to that. That's what man does. Nobody can live up to that. You know what I'm concerned about? People don't even care. Well, okay, you're involved in this lifestyle. Let's look and see what the Bible says and let it be the judge. Oh, no. Oh, this is what you believe. Let's see. Is that in God's book? Is that what He said? Oh, no. Everybody's got an opinion. Man's judgment are the words. You know what I really believe? I believe, you don't have to believe this, but I really believe this. Even as a child of God, as a Christian, I think when I stand before the Lord in the judgment seat of Christ, and I have to give an answer and count myself to Him. You know, Brent, I told you right here to pray without ceasing. You know, Brent, I told you right here to rejoice evermore. Brent, right here, it says right here, you carried that Bible, you had it in your hand. It says, despise not prophesying. Now, son, let's look at your life in light of this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Let's look at this one, son. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Let's look at this one, son. Not forsaking. Now, what part of all that did you not understand? Well, Lord, you know, I had some bad circumstances hit me. And people mistreated me, and I had some bad health. Yeah, but if you knew your whole life was going to be judged by a book, wouldn't it mean more to you? if we put you here on the platform, so all right, let's take a vote about John up here. That ain't the way it's going to be. Jesus said, you know, I'm not even going to judge you. I'm just going to open the book and let the words judge you. And that's why, dear friend, if you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, it's all about one thing. This book tells you that if you'll put faith in Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's what will judge you. Have you done what the book said? Man's love, man's belief, man's judgment. What do you love? What do you believe? And what is your standard of judgment?